I think nobody likes to think that you're going to die. We all think we're immortal. You're starting your career. You probably never thought of dying. I'm ending my career and I still don't think of dying. When people die, something has to be dealt with, but I think most of us don't really want to think about our death because it actually is an admission that we're not immortal.
That was Nigel Burton, who's secretary to a number of organisations involved in the funeral business. We'll be hearing more from him a little later. Death is still seen as the ultimate taboo subject, and most people would shudder even to think about having to organise a funeral. But how much do you think it would cost?
To organise a funeral?
That's a bit of a morbid question.
£1,000?
£200?
I hope I don't have to organise one.
£1,500 more.
Gosh.
A lot.
That's a very good question.
About £1,000, I think.
I don't know, £800?
£200?
£1,000.
£5,000?
It shouldn't really cost much.
Not more than £500.
I have no idea. I don't know.
Something like £1,500.
No.
Yeah, and I won't be here to pay it.
We'll talk more about the cost later, but that's only one of many things to think about when someone dies. Would you know where to start?
Once I actually was on the helpline and I received a call from a gentleman who said his father had just died, and I asked him when, and he said, well, just now, he's in the next room, and he didn't know what to do. So I was gobsmacked at that point because I thought, oh my God, you know, I've never had a phone call like this before. Usually it's like, oh yeah, someone died yesterday.
And Jula Sharma, who runs the Crewe's bereavement care helpline.
Luckily, you know, having our information here, I managed to actually explain to him, this is who you need to contact, from the GP, the ambulance, you know, someone's got to register the death, and you know, you need to then go to funeral directors and then do all the practical stuff and so on. So it was like going through a list with him, you know, but saying you have to do one thing at a time, don't do absolutely everything together, you know. So in a way, that just actually showed that people don't have a clue as to what to do when someone does actually die.
Ah, here it is. My name's Jean Gray, and I suffered a sad family bereavement when my husband died in December 2004. I was rather taken aback at how much the funeral cost compared with the previous funeral that I had been involved in the finance with, which was admittedly as long ago as 1967. But it seems to me that the bill has risen really out of all proportion.
Looking at the receipts side by side, it's easy to see why she was surprised. The more elaborate funeral in 1967 cost Jean a total of £53, which in today's terms is just less than £650. The more recent funeral cost considerably more.
I have in my hand the receipt, the final receipt from the funeral directors. The final total of the bill, without the organist, of £1,740.60, but with the organist added on, which was a late fee for some reason, that made it £1,800.60. I was very surprised. It's become big money, big business. And after all, when somebody in your household dies, you have no options. You have got to attend to putting them safely to rest one way or another.
Whilst there are certain costs you can't avoid, there are hardly any limits to what you can spend.
I'm James Gallagher, Regional Manager for North East London Cooperative Funeral Care.
Can you walk me around and show me some examples of the different styles of coffins that you have here?
Okay, well, one of the first coffins we see is the Millennium, which is a gold-coloured casket. It's a large American casket, as you would normally see on television, these American television programmes. You see the very large caskets at the graveside. It's in gold, this particular one. It was a bit of a special, fully lined out in silk, huge cushion in there. I mean, it's extremely elaborate. I mean, as a coffin goes, very, very nice. Probably better than most, you know, a lot of furniture people have in their homes, but also very expensive.
With the average funeral costing between £2,000 and £3,000, should there be profit made from personal loss? Alan Slater is Chief Executive of the National Association of Funeral Directors.
Funeral directing is certainly not a charitable institution, and I make no apologies for that, and no reason why it should be. Yes, funeral directors do make a profit on funerals. They're in it as a business. I do think it is a realistic profit, and certainly there can be no suggestion, I think, that funerals are overpriced. Realistically, it's very easy to have a pop at a funeral director. So and don't forget, funeral directors are there, say, 24/7. At a moment's notice, they'll be there to support and assist the most awkward and traumatic times. Do it in a very professional, caring way.
But it's not all down to funeral directors, as Alan explains.
When you're looking at the total cost of a funeral, and this is something which the public probably don't appreciate or understand, is that the total cost of a funeral, only about half of that amount is actually the funeral director's costs, and costs which are within his or her control. The rest of the costs are disbursements or third-party costs. That would include, if it's cremation, that would be the cost of the doctor's fees, cost of the cremation itself, and their fees have gone way, way above inflation levels.
The costs of cremation or burial are not dictated by the funeral director, so I set out to find out why they'd increased so much. The easy answer for burials is that as we're running out of space, graves are getting more expensive. In London, this is a particular problem, and some places are reselling old graves. For cremation, it's not quite so simple. New legislation on mercury and other emissions has meant that crematoria have had to fit expensive filters. Something else to factor in is the requirement for a second death certificate before cremation can take place. This must be signed by two doctors, each charging a standard and recently increased fee of £62. But what happens at the end of the ceremony when the curtains close? Mourners may be too grief-stricken to consider it, but is it our ignorance that breeds our fear? Let's talk to Dave McCarthy from the City of London Crematorium.
This is what most people don't usually see. You don't usually get a living body inside a cremator. You okay in there? It's being relined, so you can see all the new brickwork for it. It's a very expensive process. The cremators have to be maintained on a regular basis to make sure they work efficiently.
Quite high-tech things, aren't they?
Most people don't realise that. They don't know what to expect downstairs in a crematory. But as you can see, it's quite clinical. All the machines are individual, and that's another thing people worry about. Do you cremate all the bodies together? Every cremation is done individually and with the greatest of dignity. With this particular machine, there's a cremation taking place in it, and the identification card is sitting in the small window there, so we know exactly who's in that cremator. Also, the details of that person have been logged into the computer, so we know exactly what's going on at all times with all cremations. The situation there at the moment, that cremation has been going for 17 minutes, but you can, if you want to, look inside.
I'll probably regret it if I do, but I'll regret it if I don't.
What you see in there is basically the head and the shoulders of the person. But there's no flesh, it's pure bones.
Okay, my curiosity's got the better of me and I have to look, think.
You don't really see a great deal of nasty things in there at all. It's important that the crater is cleared out completely in between. We don't want anything left in there for the next cremation. We want to make very, very sure that you only get back your cremated remains.
My name is Michael King and I'm a crematorium officer. Right, the cremation's finished now and all I'm doing is raking down the remains into the hopper at the end.
Sure you get all the bits.
The rake is long enough to reach right the way to the end, so you can see that as soon as you put the rake down you can scrape everything into the hopper at the end of the cremator.
And where does it go next?
You put cool air on that to cool it down for about an hour, then that cools the remains down. After that it goes into the reducing room down there.
Once the cremation process is finished and it's cooled down enough, then the remains, and it's just the bones of the person that is left at that stage, is brought into this room, which was
room to reduce them to the cremated remains that we actually hand out to people. And these are, we call them tremulators, and they're like spin dryers basically. We would actually put the ashes into there, the remains into there, and they're spun round at quite a high speed, and it reduces them into the cremulated remains that you see at the end of the day.
I didn't know how I was going to react going behind the scenes at the crematorium, but it was strangely reassuring to see how much care was taken during the process. It wasn't a morbid place at all, and no, they don't reuse the coffins. Every cremation is done separately, and it's only your loved one's ashes that you take home. Although this is the end of the funeral process, it might only be the beginning of the grieving. Charities like Crewe's Bereavement Care can offer advice. Here's Anjula Sharma once more.
Good morning, Crewe's Bereavement Care.
When someone has died, people can go through a mixture of emotions. It may not happen straight away. It may happen 6 months down the line. It could happen 20 years down the line. So there's no set period as to how someone should feel and when they should feel it. They could go from anything being angry, disbelief, shock, where they don't talk to anyone, somebody just cries all the time, a lot of hurt. It could be a complete range of emotions. It varies from person to person. No one is exactly the same. Death can be a taboo, but it is getting better. It can be a taboo for numerous reasons, because people don't want to think about their death. People don't. Yes, one of the guarantees in life is you're going to die. And, you know, that's one thing they don't want to think about. People are scared to talk about it. But, like people are scared to do wills because they think that means I'm going to die if I do a will. It is getting better. People do talk about it, but not still as much as people should talk about it and think about their future plans.
More and more people are thinking about the future. Did you know that just like your mobile phone, you can negotiate a prepaid plan for your funeral? We heard from Nigel Burton at the start of the programme. He's secretary of the Prepaid Funeral Association and explains the advantages.
I think what it does, particularly if there's no family around or people aren't sure that their family will respect their wishes, what it means is that they can set up the funeral as they want it set up, with whatever hymns or whatever style they want. They can pay for it in advance by a number of different methods, and they can then relax and they know that when their time comes, they'll get exactly what they want, it's paid for, and that's it.
And what other advice could he share?
I think people should not be afraid of it, and when they go to a funeral director, if they're not happy, go to another funeral director. It's a big purchase. Not many of us spend sort of around the £2,000 price without getting a quotation. You'd do it if you bought a car, if you were buying a sofa, you'd probably go to several shops. People should remember that.
However much we try to ignore it, death can't be escaped. In fact, since the beginning of this programme, 15 people will have died in Britain alone. It all adds up to a lot of funerals and a lot of money being spent on them.
We kept everything as simple as possible and modest. And that's reflected in the fee, which no doubt is quite normal and reasonable these days. I think people go in for a big funeral because they want to make a good impression, and they feel to some extent perhaps duty bound to give a good send off to their dear loved ones. In point of fact, I think very often the dear loved ones would be horrified to know how much was spent on putting them safely away when they had been fairly frugal and modest in their life. A lot of it showed, to be honest, isn't it?
So how would she feel if people spent a lot on her funeral?
I should probably rise up and hit them.